This is Channel 2, over. This is Channel 2, over, and this will conclude Cooker's own narrative on Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. On the night, about 8 o'clock, he brought David Bradley fertilizer spreader over in the back end of his 9-passenger station wagon. This is Channel 2, over. Channel 2, over. This is Channel 2, over. The beginning of Channel 2, over. The beginning of Channel 2, over, on Cooker's own narrative, Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969, the night he brought that David Bradley's fertilizer spreader over in the back of his 9-passenger station wagon. He just couldn't stand to see us spreading fertilizer by hand.
And if I catch anybody inside my shop, inside my property after I go to bed, all they can think of is buckshot, because I've got it laying on my desk, and I'll sure use it. You can't lock against them, because they'll pry it open and go anyway.
Well, you know, over here, one of my friends over here, Cross Creek, of a bull fence on one side, and there's a fence on the other, he put on great big woven wire fence with everything, and I kept telling him, you know, talking to him. he didn't need all that, But it was a nuisance. The people right in front of him had them old dogs, and they'd get over there and run his animals and wander all over his place, and he put that fence up there, and they couldn't get in there. He paid for it. It cost him, but at least he has
something like me. Well, now you take my neighbor there, right next to me. Her mother, the old lady there, they ain't a bit. I think just as much her as I do my own mother. She's just as sweet as she can be. But she had a daughter there. She was down and out. I mean, she was. Her family was almost starving to death. Now, I took my car. I go rent a trailer. I didn't have no truck. I go rent a trailer. A U-Haul trailer. I moved her in there. Didn't charge her a nickel. Not a nickel did I charge her for moving her in there. Everything went along okay for about 3 weeks. She had brought a couple paydays, you know, and got her family fed up pretty good. She didn't have to pay no rent, no light bill, or nothing. She was getting along pretty good, you know. One day she come over there and, well, her boys and my kids been fussing a little bit, and I told them, I said, you first just stay over here and let them stay over there then. Well, they went and told her mama that I said that my kids had to stay on over here over at my house, and they had to stay over there. Well, she come over and she jumped all over me, you know. And she is a woman, and after me doing as much as for as I did, I hurt pretty doggone deep. She said, I'll just tell you what. She said, you just keep your children over to your house, and I'll damn sure keep mine over here. I said, okay. I'm going to hold you to that, Miss Blanche. In less than a week, that chain link fence was up there. And they didn't come over that fence. But I tell you what I did do for Alice. I left a walk gate, so she could go over and see Grandma Sapp.
Yeah, cute. That's the walk gate.
It cost me $20 extra to get that gate put up there.
So, well, that's the baby.
Mm-hmm. I sure did. But that got close to me. Man alive.
Right there
in
Hawthorne, take it there.
You can have more troubles with that for children.
I don't have no trouble with
it
now.
I mean, it's just like that. I mean, it's almost like the fence line. You go to court over 3 inches of fence. They save more litigation than court about fences. But children can scrap up and get the fence.
Used to be fence lines. Used to be.
Yeah. But before I moved Blanche in there with her mother, we kept her lawn all mowed. I mean, I wouldn't have a nickel for it. Kept her lawn mowed and everything. Took care of her just like I would my own mother.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't have to mow over there where you are. You haven't got anything but sand.
Oh, when the sun comes out and after it gets raining, I got to mow every week.
mow?
Grass.
In the yard.
In the yard
in the
every
yard.
Week.
Yeah.
Oh, it
does
grow?
Oh, yes, sir. But I...
What were they talking about here the other day?
Oh, back there where the horses is.
Where the horses are.
Of course, it'll come out.
Right now,
it's
not
much traffic.
Well, hell, any of
it
will be a sand lot if you
just trumpet enough. Yeah. Well, they sure trumpet. They run them horses. They ride the horses back there. Chase barrels, everything. It ain't no wonder I ain't got no grass.
Ain't no wonder you got asthmatic.
I feed them every mouthful they eat.
They don't depend on your little 3 acres in for nipping.
Oh, no, I've got about 8 acres leased off of Miss Sapper.
That's a little man.
I'm telling you that this land down here, if you just own it enough, it'll all turn to sand.
Frank, we better go to the house.
Mm. Well, Frank.
We better go see what other than
they're all
there.
Well, I don't know.
They're all in the bed. No, they ain't.
Does Helen not work tonight?
Oh yeah, she works.
Well, what time does she go?
9:30.
Well,
she's
gone. Yeah. How's she going? That girl, man, came in. Why not?
What
he ought to
be. When he left,
oh,
he said.
You do.
Why
didn't
you
do
that?
No, these, she has to work with him.
It's surprising
how much better she gets along with him by riding with him.
That's right.
Sure.
That's right.
And she can ride with them colored people 25 cents a day. Cheaper than she can a white woman.
Is that right?
That's right.
He probably
just
as careful as
and
driver.
I let one of the colored women drive my car lots and lots of times. But I wouldn't let Miss Fowler drive it out of the driveway.
Uh-huh. Is that right?
I wouldn't.
Uh-huh. The word lesson is can't sue for more.
I'm going to show you this hack of mine. Your daddy fixed it for me. I couldn't fix it. And I got, we haven't tried it on mine. See, some, yeah, you know, put that on. Good.
Well, that's all surprises me about your neighborhood there and the city,
Hawthorne.
I wouldn't think they'd put on those.
They just thought.
We just thought they'd going to walk up there and get $50 off old Cookie, my little Cookie. Grandpa Todd, Miss Todd's husband that was down here with us Sunday, you know? He sent me wise to this.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. They just take the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know that is something. If somebody come in the community, I'm telling you, they all try them out.
They sure do.
You still have to fight your fights like you did here. So that's the truth.
I still got it. And I won, and boy, that makes me mad. I don't even buy, if I can get by without it, I won't buy $1 worth of gas in Hawthorne. I won't.
Well, now, I thought Sid Martin got along pretty well up there, most of them.
Well,
he's right accommodating and everything. I'm a little surprised that he'd do that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Because I didn't back their country club, and because I didn't back a lot of things that they wanted me to right there in Hawthorne, they looked down on me.
Country club?
Yeah.
They got a country club there?
They sure have. It cost you $100 to join and $15 a month membership fee. Because I couldn't do that. Why, they ain't got no use for me.
Well, if you paid it, when would you go?
Yeah, when would I go? I ain't got time to go down there and chase them golf balls all over them hills.
Come here, man. You just chase the horses somewhere.
I'd get a lot more fun out of going out and watching them kids ride their horses. Yeah, I do.
Or coming down here and cutting hay? Or
you'd rather pay them not to go, wouldn't you?
Sure.
No,
they've
I
got a good school there now. I think they, from what I can hear of it.
I think they've got a good school coming on now.
But the bread, the girl that sells bread down there, when I go, it's from Hawthorne, and during the election there, she wouldn't let me say a thing about Sid Martin. She thought he was a good thing. And she told a good many things he did, you know, neighborly things.
Well, you see, now Sid Martin owns the B&B liquor store down there south of Hawthorne. All right, he owns he just about owns Hawthorne. To tell you the truth about it, Sid Martin does.
Yeah.
Him and Al Keegan owns about every business establishment there in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
So, in other words, they're going to rule Hawthorne.
Yeah.
What they don't own, James Phillips and Jack Williams do.
Who is Jack Williams? I know, I've heard of him. Does he own land and put cattle on it out there? What does he do?
He's got his family about every kind of a pie you can name. He's in the real estate business.
Yeah.
He's in the insurance business. He runs the Hawthorne Variety Store. He's got the Greyhound Agency there.
Oh.
And he's got some cattle, him and Al Killian and Sid Martin and James Phillips together. They've all got cattle together.
Oh.
So you just about pick your pie and he's got his finger in it.
Jack Williams.
And he's so crooked he has to screw his socks on every morning.
You know, I tell you, I forget the boy's name. But we bid on some cattle together and he bid a whole lot more than I did and got them. Out here at the old beef, University Beef Unit. Some of that call. But
yeah.
That call was good. And I remember now, Jack Williams is a fellow, he had gone to university and studied all that.
Yeah.
And he was running, doing the management.
Yeah.
And Jack Williams had the land and bought the animals.
That's old Jack. Yeah, that's him.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, that's the man.
Huh?
Calling a bunch of feeders, eh?
Yeah. That's Jack
Williams. These were brood cows.
Oh.
They were good. Now that's the end of this long, pleasant, monumental visit with Leo. Hour and a half on the tape, at least. And the curious thing about it was we were just trying to calm down and quiet down and sit down and let Faye tell us the telephone conversation she'd had with Cookie, and this car drove up out there, and I was thinking, well, Dad burned if I go out there. We've got business in here, and I kept thinking, well, maybe it's Gene and Walter, and they'll come on in, but the car stopped and dimmed the lights. Nobody came in, so I figured somebody said, well, you better go out there and see who's there. And I knew right away who it was, what it was. On the other side, there was a couple of fellas, and I knew what they were doing. They were working on that old fertilizer spread. Now, this is about 160, Channel 2 over, and this is the end. This is the end of Cookie's narrative on Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. This is Channel 2 over, about 165 now, and it's the end of Cookie's narrative at the table, sitting around the table here in the kitchen with Shug and Fanny and Mamu and Cookie and the boy, Frank. They'd brought that old David Bradley spreader over so we wouldn't have to spread fertilizer by hand. And this is the end of that narrative, around 165-70, Channel 2 over, on Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. Now, after Cookie left, Faye still had this story of the telephone conversation that she had that actually stimulated all this and brought it over there. And she's the one that put in the words
It didn't matter. We didn't need it. We could just go out there in the morning and spread that fertilizer by hand. And I think that's what got Cookie going. Now, Faye's little narrative after Cookie left. Still on Tuesday night, 25th of March, 1969. Faye, on your.
Well, it was about 8 o'clock, or maybe a little bit after. I guess it was about 7:30, because we hadn't eaten yet. I was cooking supper. Telephone rang, and it was this voice said, hello, and stopped, just like he always does. And I said hello and waited, and knowing all the time I'd have to pick up the ball. And I said, well, what's on your mind? Cookie said, well, what's on yours? And after a little wait, I said, well, it's a little cold over here tonight. Cookie said, is it? Well, it's not. If it is over here, I hadn't noticed it. I said, well, you must not have been out. He said, no, hadn't been out. I'd been in the hospital. He said, I was in the hospital all yesterday, and I've been over there in and out today. Been taking tests. I said the usual thing, and Cookie said, they found pus on around my spine. And they told me I couldn't go to work and stand on that concrete floor. Yeah, that was a thing. And I couldn't lift a thing. He said, you know, that hurts a fellow when that's your business and you can't lift anything. And, you know, I just right quick remembered he was lifting that the horse's leg and how he just broke out in perspiration. I just flashed through my mind. And, of course, I said, well, you must be real quite happy that they found what it is. And he said, I sure am. He said, they've given me 3 shots. And he said, I already feel like a new person. He said, give me 3 more shots. Got to work tomorrow, Wednesday, if I don't lift anything. And I got to go back to the hospital on Thursday. And they're going to take some more tests and give me another shot or two. And he said, you know, with luck, I just might feel myself again pretty soon. He said, but I just wanted you guys to know that I just, where I was. And I said, well, that sure makes us proud, Cookie. He said, I'd have brought that fertilizer spreader last night if I could have, but I just wasn't here and just couldn't do it. He said, now, I aim to bring it tomorrow night after work. And I said, oh, now you better just forget about that and just take care of yourself, Cookie. That's the main thing right now. He said, well, I aim to bring it. He said, I remember saying, well, now, if we could help you, we could bring the truck over maybe tonight and pick it up. Well, he said, no, I don't think you could help. He said, it's not here. And I was trying to be more helpful, so I said, well, now, if you could just tell us where it is, we could just relieve you of that trip. He said, you know, I could talk all night, and I never could tell you where he was. He said, this fellow lives way up in the woods. It is in the backwoods. He said, that's the reason he's got it, because it's back there where nobody knows where it is. And he said, you know, being out of work 2 days, it sort of hurts a fella because that's $25 a day that I lost. And he said, he asked $75 for it, and I gave him $50. And I said, well, Cookie, I know you wouldn't have bought it unless it was the right price, but that sure seems like an awful lot for a fertilizer spreader. He said, well, it costs $400 if you had to buy it new. He said, they're not cheap, you know. I said, well, I'm sure you made a good buy. All right. He said, well, I owe him $25 and said, I won't be able to get that $25 till tomorrow. But I said, I'll bring it tomorrow night. I'll bring that over tomorrow night. And I said, well, that'd be just fine, Cookie. And I tell you, we got my sister and brother here. And in the morning, we'll just get out there and take a few buckets
and spreading the starter of that fertilizer, so we'll have a head start. And I said, we can sort of spread a little bit over there, and we'll have a head start, and then that'll be that much done. He didn't say a word. And I said, but the main thing now, you take care of yourself, and don't you come doing anything that you don't feel like doing. He said, well, I'll see you tomorrow night. I said, well, that'd be mighty fine. If you come over, we'll be mighty happy to see you. And he said, I'd come tonight if I had it. And I said, no, you don't. You just wait and come now tomorrow night after work. That'll be soon enough. Or you come whenever you get ready. And we said goodbye, and that was it.
No, you went into a long detail about checking in, and would you be there?
Oh, I told him that...
you tell Guy.
Yeah, I did do that on the telephone. I said I was at the shop today because my car had a line broken to the for the transmission line. Was cracked, and I had to take it in the shop, and I waved, and first thing I said, I waved to you, I saw your head at the back of it. He said, you didn't see my head, because I wasn't there. And I said, well, that sure was funny. No wonder that man didn't wave back to me. He thought that was sort of funny. And I said, well, I'll tell you now, I'll tell Guy what you said. That's right, I did, Fanny. Tell Guy what you said about the spreader. And I had in my mind all the time, you know, that if you needed to talk, call back, he could call. And I said, you going to be home tonight? He said, well, he had to take Helen to the church. He didn't guess he would be there very much. And of course, I immediately jumped to the conclusion he didn't want you calling him back. And I said, well, we'll check in with you at Brazenden's if there's anything different in our plans. We always leave it open because, you know, we might not be here or something. And I said, I want to call you tomorrow if there's any reason that you want to tell us anything else. I had a feeling about this $25, you see. And I was trying to leave the gate open where he'd say, well, now, if I just had that $25, I could bring that thing out here tonight. But I couldn't press him, so this never came any more than that. And, so as it happened, you see, that's what he needed.
That's what it was
and what he needed. And he's just going to take a chance on us understanding.
Yeah, he took a chance. That somehow or another it would come through, didn't it?
Because he had made it plain enough that he lacked $25.
And he bought this on promising that man probably he'd bring $25 either early in the morning or something.
Now, he said he bought that machine and he intimated that the man came down in his price, and that's why he got this for 50 instead of 75.
Mm.
And it could have been that way. But anyway, now he might make a story of that to somebody else, how he got this fertilizer spreader for nothing, or what he's trading for it. But I'll bet you a dime he never did plunk down. I'd be willing to bet my anything that he never plunked down $50. Now, he may have plunked down $50 in some sort
worth
of
work.
Something. But anyway, he's got it. I couldn't buy it for $50.
No, and you're not real sure that he didn't.
Well, no, you're not real sure.
And because he knows you got to have something to work with, and apparently he's determined to see this thing through enough to make one crop of hay. Or he wouldn't go this far.
Yeah,
you know, get this much done anyway, and so you got to have a little
bit. Well, when I gave him this check, I said, now, all right, we've done this, you know, he said, now, this is half. I said, okay, and if we ever have to sell it, then we'll split it half. He said, I ain't ever aiming to have to sell it. I'm aiming just to use it on and on and on. But why not?
Yeah, he was in Korea.
That army. I mean, that
war. And he was fooled. He said it took him 3 days to sell him out.
Now
what?
What's me?
See? His whole side was frozen and his feet were frozen.
Why?
And
you I'm not a bit sophisticated about this business down here. I just swallow all hooks and line and sinker.
That's what he said the other day. Brought it up while he'd been in the hospital and they were going to help him get disability.
You probably know we'll live long enough, even with your experiences with him, to ever know, you know, how much he was using you or where your brain fell down or anything like that. But are you sure he's the same breed of cats as these people who won't do anything for you down here? This is a breed.
He doesn't sound like the man.
Well, he's a West Virginia breed now.
Yeah.
He might have done something for his neighbor up there.
That's right, Peggy.
That's right. He might not do. But still, I think for your own benefit that you have to, like he is doing, you have to know ahead of time. You have to be warned a little bit ahead of time.
How many people do you know put up a $750 chain fence in order to keep the neighbor out of it? What sparked it was this neighbor. Now, somebody might have come in and stolen something, but what sparked it was this neighbor.
Well, that came further in his life up there in Hawthorne. He had the number of Hawthorne before that, and he needed to have his things protected.
Well, this grandmother that called the other day said they certainly were fine people, and that Helen and they didn't mind you for you to correct their children. Said they really wanted you to when you saw them doing anything that was not right.
But there are a lot of people who put up fence around their place. That lousy daughter Blanche coming in, you see, ruined a good thing there. If Blanche hadn't come in, he'd never put the fence up. And it was, he was just keeping trouble down between two bunches of kids there and that Blanche. He just wasn't going to put up with it. You ought to be pre-warned about dealing with anybody where you don't have clear-cut business. So.
That's right, Francis. I never met the breed till I came down here. I never conscious of that breed. It may be, but even so, it may be exaggerated down here, but it's still. I think it's still a universal problem.
Well,
you can like a person and be very devoted to a person who's like this, but you better be sure that you are conscious of it.
Well, that's sure. But you also, are there sections where clannishness, you know, I mean certain characteristics would be of a kind of people in a kind of place. The mountain people are supposed to be sort of clannish, but Joe Copeland tried to buy a little piece of property up on the mountain there. He wanted to build some cottage. And he wanted to buy it from this old, old, really mountain man. And Joe was a preacher. And they just could not agree about a boundary line or something. It just looked like they were going to have trouble getting the lot at all. But finally, they worked around where the price and the boundary line and everything was gee-hawing good, and they weren't going to have to go to court about it or whatever it was. And Joe said to the mountain man, "You know, it's so nice that we've worked out our difficulties because we're going to be neighbors here and live together. And it's just nice that we've done the fair and good thing about this." The man looked at him like he thought he was crazy. He said, "We'd be fair about it, whether we'd be neighbors or not." I don't know that this is a pointing thing, but he wasn't trading, you know, the mountain man there would have been fair in his trading, And down here, you give me the feeling that...
Old Francis. Mm-hmm. Old Francis. They have lived on suckers down here. The people, that's the way they get their
that's
start.
What I, that's
the
what
leading
I,
members
yeah.
of the community.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's just the byword.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that way in this generation, but it was up until this generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, of course, some of us just, I could just name you one piece after another that I've run across.
And this is kind of like the newcomers coming in and just tea grabbing up there like they were going to do cookie.
And when I came down here, all the neighbors were willing to take me in.
Mm-hmm.
Take
And it's the same old thing. You had to work. You had to fight for your little right.
Yeah.
And show them you were a man, or they would just suckered you to death.
And not only that, the richest.
Yeah,
was
part
and,
of it.
And everybody else would just cut your throat. We can tell you the scariest
story
you've ever heard.
Well,
yeah.
Well,
well
you think this is a universal, then?
In Florida,
mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
But
and here's another thing down here, Francis. They've never the farmers down here never made an honest living. They've speculated.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they lived on watermelons and vegetables.
That's right.
And that it's a wholly speculative thing.
It's a gamble.
Good Lord. Yes, it's a different world out here.
It's a gamble. This is a gamble. This is
Now, I don't know the other fellas in the term, but that's the way.
Well, this is fun.
And I always had the feeling in the East Tennessee and in Kentucky, the people who live in the mountains there were just straight.
This is what I thought of immediately when you said this.
Yeah, now he hadn't been down here long, you see. A couple years.
Now this is Channel 2 over. This is Channel 2 over. Around 405. It's going up to 405, and this is the end of Faye's little narrative about the telephone call that led to Cookie's visit and when he brought the fertilizer spreader over so we wouldn't have to spread it by hand. This is about 405, Channel 2 over, and this is the end of the material so far, what we call the Cookie material so far. It's around 405, Channel 2 over, the end of the material so far on Tuesday night, the 25th of March, 1969. This is Channel 2 over, 410. Channel 2 over, 410. This is Sunday, the 18th of May, 69. Sunday, the 18th of May, 69. I didn't have long to wait for this Cookie visit. It was in the offing, the reverse of that first one on tape, but he was ready riding the waves that night with Fanny and all of them here. All his trading and picking up vehicles or implements. And then the other day, his bad luck started. Those trades began to sour on him. And I had to hear the reverse side of that coin. But the unexpected happened. Mixed with that of following all those things is one of the finest trades I guess he ever made. And this is Channel 2 over, 410, Sunday, the 18th of May, 69. He drove up in his with his horse trailer. I was soaking my sore foot, and it looked like he was going to drive on off, so I hollered at him. And I came over here to get Faye to hold the line for me while I put on my uniform. She'd gone down to get the Sunday paper. So I went on out and caught him in the shed. And that's where we sat. And as I walked up, I was limping pretty bad on this foot where Molly stepped on it this morning. And I used that for excuse of saying that I didn't do over the weekend. And it just happened this morning when we were feeding. Well, got a half inch. We got an inch and a half last week.
That's good. Now we just
keep that up.
Just keeps up just a little bit along like that.
Just start heading out now.
Yeah.
We get that fertilizer. I got pulverized, so I didn't move any.
Yeah. I left for Faye, and she's supposed to come into the shop Friday. Get her car fixed.
Yeah. Yeah,
I never did see her because I was in and out all the time.
No, she didn't come on account of this. I had to have locomotion over there. She didn't call. She didn't think it mattered.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't matter up there, but well, it didn't matter at all. I you know, I kind of kept an eye out for it.
Yeah.
Didn't know. And
yeah, your horse has been coming up there, trying to have a visit there. So lonesome. The little one in particular.
They'll take them up and ride today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Helen, she's back on the lift almost again. Her legs, they're just aching like a toothache.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't seem to be swell too bad. But they just hurt, ache.
Yeah.
So she's going to keep them propped up today, biggest part of the day. We might come down later on this afternoon.
Well, what,
They're not red. They just hurt.
Yeah. Well, what, she don't like to wear anything on her legs?
No.
Not comfortable? They won't.
No, she said, no, she tried to get these support hose and so forth. Well, and she don't even like to wear just regular hose.
Yeah, they won't wear them either.
No.
They won't wear a hat.
Very seldom hell ever put the hat on.
Yeah, if I didn't wear a hat and boots, I'd be worse than this, you see. Most of the time, hit my head on something so much to hit your head on.
Mm.
Well, that other spell she had, that dew poison or whatever she got, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's what she called it, but now there's a different name for it than that.
Oh, yeah. But it swelled up and the skin got right slick. That's sort of, you know, that's sort of a bad sign.
Sure is. According to Dr. Bauer, real bad sign.
Mm-hmm. Is he your neighbor over there?
Yeah.
Is that his office there?
Hawthorne? Yeah. Yeah, he's a good, he's a good doctor.
He's the one of the best surgeons in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems so nervous. He just quit trying to do surgery work, and he just general practice.
You know that surgery? I've seen some of the surgeons, and that's they hump over for 2 or 3 hours at a time, Leo.
Yeah, and they just got to be just so so.
But, yeah, just concentrate.
Yeah, and.
Make a plumber ashamed of himself, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or a mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure would.
Yes, sir. Well, I've been thinking about you. That burned neighbors you got over there. Are those fellas neighbors of yours?
They live there in Hawthorne.
The ones that have been bothering
you?
Yeah.
But I talked to the judge over there, and he told me this. He said, take your horse back and turn him out. And call me. Or call the sheriff's department. We'll put a man down there. A plain man.
Oh, really?
And he said, just let him put a halter on him. Attempt to take him out. That's all I want. And he said, that's automatically 5 years in Rayford.
Oh, good Lord, Leo.
Yes, sir. He said, we got to break this stuff up, and he said, through cooperation of men like you is the only way we're going to do it.
Oh, this is not just isolated.
No. 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 Stealing them every day, guy.
Early Christian had 4 stole.
What did you say, Frank?
Early Christian had 4 of his apparitions stole.
That's right.
4 of them.
Yeah. Now, they're the ones that traded you the horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that traded me the horse to start with.
Because they didn't want him.
They couldn't handle him. He whipped them out. And Helen walked up to him and put her arm around his neck. And he laid his head over her shoulder. And he turned his head like this. Didn't want to see it. Afraid that horse would jump all over. And he walked up to the barn door where he was at. And he wheeled and threw his hind end at him.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yes, sir, he sure did.
You mean a horse will do that?
Yes, sir. And he walked in the field where he was at. And he reared on his hind feet and took at him, guy.
Why,
he sure did.
Is that right?
A horse knows you. They know when they get good treatment.
Ah, that's a bad burn to say.
But that man died at Fillmore's fast too.
Just got me worried till I'm sick. I'm sick, guy.
Over there amongst your neighbors.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a man in real estate coming to look at my property this next week.
I don't blame you.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell out. Because I ain't got no protection there.
Nope.
I got to call a deputy sheriff, and nine times out of ten when you call one, they're on the road someplace, and it takes them 4 hours to get there, and we're paying for sheriff protection right there in the city of Hawthorne. I am. I'm serious. I'm gonna put it up safe. Just to show us they will quote me a decent price.
Just put your sign out there.
Yes, sir.
I know. I can't hardly blame you.
That's a nice place and all that.
Yeah.
But if a man can't live comfortable, what's the use of having it, guy?
Yeah. Now, when they had the horse, they couldn't manage the horse.
That's right. They couldn't manage him. They couldn't handle him. He whipped them out. They couldn't even ride him.
Well, how'd you know you could handle him?
I walked up to the horse and patted him on the nose.
You mean when the other man had him?
When the other man had him. And I seen there was no problem there. And guy, he has never give us the first minute's trouble.
Yeah. And hadn't hurt you or wanted to hurt you?
No, he'll play with you. Just like your horses, they'll play with you. But as far as pinning them ears back and taking at you and kicking at you, he's never done that.
Mm-hmm. He hadn't offered to bite?
No. Never offered to bite.
How long that fella had him?
About a year.
What does it matter? He just don't know nothing about a horse?
No, he beat him.
Beat him. That's a fine way to do.
Yeah, that sure is. You can whip a horse. You can punish a horse for something that they do, but you don't have to go at him with a shovel handle or a
pitchfork handle.
Pitchfork and job a pitchfork in him and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you can punish them.
Yeah. You can take your little whip that long and punish one.
Yeah.
Enough to let them know that they did wrong.
Yeah.
And put them in their place.
This hurts the feeling.
That's right. But as far as jobbing a pitchfork in one's ribs and all that kind of junk, I can't go that road. Mm-mm.
Didn't know anybody done that anymore.
Yes, sir. That man we got him from, there ain't nothing too honest for that man to do. There ain't nothing too honest for that man to do.
How in the world did you ever get to dealing with him?
He wanted me to overhaul the engine for him. He had a truck, and he wanted me to overhaul the engine for him. So me and Frank pulled the motor out of his truck and overhauled it and put it back and got the horse and the saddle.
And he's satisfied?
No, he ain't satisfied.
He was then?
No, he wasn't then, and he still ain't. He's a man you can't satisfy. The good Lord himself can't satisfy a man like that.
Well, now, he's not the man that runs the Sunday school, no. That's somebody else.
That's somebody else.
Yeah.
But he's a man that's in charge of the Boy Scouts in the Hawthorne. He's scoutmaster for the Boy Scouts in Hawthorne.
I just don't believe that, Neil. It's just hard to believe. You don't mean it.
I do.
He works for the Boy Scouts.
He's scoutmaster.
Well, you know that fella who come over here to get that them implements in there. He wanted them for the 4-H boys. So?
I was getting 4-H, but you can't get nothing down there.
Oh, that we can't even have a decent 4-H club there in Hawthorne. I'm serious.
For such fellas as that?
Just such fellas as that. And because they let the children run to the four winds of the earth, and they want them to belong to everything. Well, you can't say no when you organize a 4-H club. You can't say no. You, and you can't belong.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
If they come up and they're of age, and
sign up and their parents okay them and belong to the 4-H club, what can you do? You've got to accept them. I was in the 4-H club from the time I was 9 years old. That was the age limit. 9 years old, I went right on through till I finished high school.
One reason I come down here and move from Latchley, there's some right crabby fellas up there where I lived, around me.
Yeah?
They just didn't care to accommodate anybody. One of them, I needed electricity over there, and they wouldn't let the light line come over the place. Not even any post, but they wouldn't let the line come over the place. One of them. One reason I moved down here was the neighbors. I knew that long ago. You know, I didn't want a piece of land out where there wasn't no neighbors.
Yeah.
And then I didn't want it where there's crummy. And down here, this is the nicest neighborhood I'd found. The colored people now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the colored people up there don't give us no trouble. But they've got some, they got the scrapings of the earth, I guess, living right across there in that allotment in front of me. They're drifters, what I call drifters. They'll come in, they'll buy a house for $100 down and $85, $90 a month, you know. Well, they live in high cotton for 6 or 8 months. Then they'll up and give it back to the man and then move on someplace else.
What do you mean, the allotment?
There's a housing development across in front of me over there. Right across the highway, see?
Who owns it?
John Waters.
You live up there?
Yeah. He's got about 25 or 30 houses built over in there, ain't he, Frank?
Sure has. You're building.
But then is he used to this, them
stuff? Oh, yeah, he's used to them. He went bankrupt a couple of times.
Yeah.
Just over such stuff as that, and he's on his way again.
Oh, he can't handle it.
No, he ain't. When I come to Hawthorne in 61, guy, he was laying tile on his knees for a living.
Been broke? Gone broke?
He was broke. He was actually a laying tile for a living. For Central Tile Marbling out of Gainesville.
I'm glad to do it, I
guess.
Yes,
sir. Glad to bring home that $90 a week. Now then, he's running around in a big automobile and got all them houses, building all them houses. Wow, I wouldn't be in his shoes for his socks.
Who runs it?
He does.
Collects?
Yeah.
Tries to. You know, 525 houses run your death, Leo.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we rented a house or two. It's all the property we had. That's where I grew up. I mean, that's how we made our living. And half the time, they'd beat us out of the van.
Yeah.
Wants more room. He wants that place he got it.
Well, he can buy it now.
So we got 2,000. He wants to put another house in the building across the road.
If he can buy it now, he gets his heart right.
Now that's right over there in front of you?
Right in front of me.
Well, right here.
But when you went over there, there wasn't nothing.
There wasn't nothing there. You couldn't drive a car behind my house when I moved there.
You really got into it, didn't you?
I sure did. I jumped right out of the frying pan into the fire.
That's right.
never will live in the city limits. No,
And then you keep thinking things will change.
Keep thinking everything gonna change, get for the better. It'll get better for a little while and get my hopes built up, and then all at once they'll kick the props out from under me again, you know.
Yeah. And then a man got so much to do, he don't have time to just start looking around and changing.
No.
That's a lot of work. But, you
yes,
know,
sir.
Just sell out and buy somewhere else.
Wow. That's a full-time job itself, right there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I put all my extra time looking around for property when I first come down here.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It just wasn't to be found at the price a fella could pay. Just wasn't there. Now these, but these fellas that you haven't, that you had to recover your cars from.
Yeah.
Are they over there too?
Yeah. Sure is. Yeah, they are.
Right there close by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're within 6 miles of me.
And he wouldn't even be business-like about it. He'd just fly off and cuss.
Yeah, just cuss you out. Wouldn't he, Frank?
Sure would.
Frank was with me.
Well, I can't imagine it.
He told me, he said, thank God, if you'll just pay me what I got in that goddamn thing, you can take it and go with it. I said, I ain't paying you nothing. You run it for a certain length of time here. I said, no, I'd pay for it. I said, I come to get something. Well, he said, you ain't going to get nothing but a hard time.
Yeah, I never heard that.
And I give him a hard time.
And he's a nice fella.
Why? Yeah.
Family man. Got a family.
Yeah, got two families.
Oh, got two families.
Yeah. Got two families. Been married twice. He's supporting one with four and got two from his second marriage and another ready just almost any day now.
And he drinks it there.
Yeah, because the car was full of beer cans when we got it. Now, it's a shame to take him out of that car in front of my family. I ain't joking. I don't tolerate stuff like that. I don't drink.
Oh, you just hate for him to see him.
I just hate for him to... That's right.
I wouldn't.
That's the reason we never go to a restaurant and eat. Any more than we do, Guy. Not that we can afford so much, but I'd like for my family to meet the public a little before they grow up.
Yeah.
But you can't go in a restaurant, I don't care, hardly at all, and sit down and eat a meal without whiskey or something is mentioned.
Yeah. You got as much noise and smoke and television and radio in it, it's deafening.
Yeah. Most every restaurant you go into, the smoke. I smoke, but I do, when I go in a restaurant, I very seldom smoke in there.
Especially breakfast.
Yeah, the smoke will stifle you.
You go in at breakfast and you couldn't smell your food, taste your food if you tried.
No. Hmm.
Some people.
But now the fellow you got who got your... You had to take the... gave you the bad check on your... On your Chevy.
Yeah.
He just didn't have the money. And
that's
told
right.
you. But he was decent about it.
Yeah, he was decent. Everything's all right now. It's all right now.
No hard words.
No hard work. I mean, it was just more or less an error between him and his wife. Mm-hmm. He made it right. It took him a week or so to do it, but... A man, I'll bend over backwards to help a man if he tries to help himself.
Well, that's it. And it'll be decent about it.
Be decent about it. So I dropped everything, and it cost me $10. But I'd rather give him $10 just to take $10 off of it. Now, I might be wrong, but I believe if a man, if he'll do that, he'll win in the long run.
I think so. Yeah, but when it's, you know, up and trying to do right, you don't worry about that.
That's right. But these fellas that don't try to do right, you got.
Leo, when a man gets behind and sort of stays behind, and so many people are after him, you know, a lot of them. I don't know, it affects them.
Yeah, yeah.
No telling what they'll do.
You take me on me, I get behind. But, like we talked it over yesterday evening. That's why we come down here this morning, get the horse and the trailer. I got a good deal on the horse trailer.
I couldn't afford to turn it down.
Mm-hmm.
I let it go.
Not the horse, just the horse.
Just the horse trailer.
Just the horse trailer.
I let it go.
Mm-hmm.
I got another horse trailer. A single horse trailer. A $320 saddle. Practically brand new. And a 61 Chevrolet automobile in good condition.
For your two horse trailer?
For my two horse trailer.
Oh, Lord. Well, now, how'd you do that?
I went and looked at the man's merchandise. I told him what kind of trailer I had. He said, I'll just give it to you. He said, I'll just trade with you that way. I said, well, I'm gonna trade with you. He said, I'm gonna trade on your word.
Is that right?
That's right. He traded on my word. He never saw my horse trailer.
Not yet. He's coming today to look at it.
He's coming today to get
it.
And bring me my automobile.
You seen the automobile?
Yeah.
Rolling.
Hmm?
Rolling.
61 Chevrolet, Powerglide, V8. Good rubber on. Good looking automobile.
And then he sold in his one horse trailer.
One horse trailer. And a $320 roping saddle. Mister, it's a beauty.
I'll still bring it down. Because he's getting the house.
Yeah, Frank took it and laid it on the foot of his bed last night.
And he made the terms himself.
He made the terms himself and took my word for it.
Come and get it.
What sort of business he in?
He's a truck driver. He drives a dump truck. He got two horses. And him and his wife both ride the horses. Ride each, they got a horse apiece. He's going to Illinois.
And he don't go unless his horses go.
And he said, I'm not going unless I can take my horses. He's working for $1.76 an hour in Orlando. He can go to Illinois and get $3.65 an hour.
Doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing. Well, he couldn't. He couldn't go. Well, he had to have a different trailer for to take his horses.
That's right.
He got quarter horse and an Appaloosa. Good horses. And he had no use for this rope and saddle because he used the. When he was contesting, why, he used a light saddle.
Oh.
See what I mean?
He kind of wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah, he wanted to get rid of it. Well, I can ride in a roping saddle just as well as I can a light saddle, you know?
Yeah.
They're a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
Man, it's a beauty. It's got a quilted seat.
A lot better than what we got out here.
You know this big saddle we got out here?
That's a good saddle.
Well, that and we got last night will make that ashamed of itself, guy.
Well, does that sort of make up for all this trouble you've been having over there?
Yeah. I figure I'd come out with $700 out of the horse trailer.
But you still traded with this fella, and you knew he was sort of a rascal. For a little man.
No, I didn't know he was a rascal at that time.
You didn't know he beat the horse?
I didn't know that he had beat the horse. I thought the horse had just whipped him out.
Oh.
I thought he was afraid of the horse.
I see. So you get this, you piece this stuff.
This all comes up.
Little at a time.
Little at a time while me and Frank was working on the motor that went in his truck, see.
Oh,
he showed his natural butt. I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I had to run him off my property.
Well,
I did. I don't allow nobody to cuss around my children.
Give him up there and hear
that. Blackguard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know. Not around my wife.
Yeah.
I told Cookie Faye wouldn't believe me. I wished he'd come in and tell her about that good trade. I thought he might be a little bit more sustained. Now, this is the end of Channel 2 Over. The end of Channel 2 Over. And this is a continuation of the visit with Cookie about his reverses in trading, and then this fine new trade with his horse trailer. On Sunday the 18th of May, 69, on Sunday the 18th of May, 69, and this is Channel 2 Over, and the end of the first Cookie reel.